Tonight's episode, an oral history of murder.
An oral, maybe a mortal, no.
A mortal history of murder.
Yeah, a mortal history. Yeah, like an oral history of mortal history. It's been a while.
Yeah, I guess it's been a while since I said one out loud.
Okay, so let's talk about this. I am Sumana Harihareshwara.
I'm Leonard Richardson.
And this is one in our extremely occasional podcast series.
Yeah, I think it's been about 8 years since the last one.
Well, that's what RSS feeds are for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can set it and forget it. Once upon a time, Leonard on his website, crummy.com, had a recurring feature called Tonight's Episode. And tonight, in April 2017, many years after tonight's episode finished, we are doing a short oral history to talk about why he did this, how I got involved, and what some of our favorite moments were.
Yes. So, according to the Wayback Machine, the first tonight's episode was on my website on December 4th, 2000, and that jibes with the time I remember putting it up. First tonight's episode was Murder by Death.
So why don't we go ahead and explain to folks what tonight's episode was?
Yeah, all right. So I guess the historical context, I got tonight's episode from two sources. One was Mr. Science Theater 3000, who would sometimes, you know, do it as a riff, and I think they were getting it from the Quinn Martin TV shows of the 70s, which would always say tonight's episode whatever, and it'd often be this pun about what, you know, something, some cross of something to do with the theme of this episode with the theme of the show as a whole, involving, you know, death or danger or you know, risk or whatever. But I also associated it with Police Squad, which was a parody of that kind of TV show. And at the beginning of every episode of Police Squad, the narrator would say, you know, tonight's episode X, but on the screen, there'd be a caption that said, tonight's episode Y. And so you got two completely different murder or death themed puns. It was sort of in stereo.
Yeah, audio and visual. And so it gave you, also just from the start, this discombobulated feeling.
Yeah, because it felt like the show had already fallen apart. People were not on the same page with respect to what the show was even called.
And so, based on these various influences, you as a college student, mm-hmm. right, in 2000, you had a website at crummy.com,
mm-hmm.
and it off had some kind of tagline under the title anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this was a handmade website, and so I would put little taglines or slogans on the webpage.
And they were usually sort of funny little bumper sticker kinds of
yeah,
fun things.
Yeah, bumper sticker is a good way to put it.
And the explanation on Leonard's Tonight's Episode archive page, which is up at crummy.com, and which we're consulting as we do this, says, tonight's episode ran on the front page of crummy.com from early 2000 till late 2003. Each of the 623 episodes, or episode titles, provided a ridiculous title for a hard-boiled, nihilistic television show about murders and the deadly murderers who commit them.
Right.
So that's the conceit, mm-hmm. is that these are episode titles for a show that doesn't exist.
Right, and a show that even by the standards of shows about detectives and cops and death and murders, is pretty gruesome and bloodthirsty.
Although the fact that there were a lot of titles of the TV show Psych that had an extremely similar feeling to them later, even though Psych is not really that bloodthirsty a show, you know, it makes you think for a bit.
Sure. Yeah, Psych, the best Psych episode title is Meat is Murder, but Murder is Also Murder.
That's right.
Which is a perfect tonight's episode. There was also one where they independently invented a tonight's episode that we had done, which was, I think, Zero to Dead in 5 seconds or something like that.
Right, right. So the historical context is you already were doing this sort of thing with kind of funny little sly, sarcastic mm-hmm. taglines, like bumper stickers under the title Crummy.com mm-hmm. Or News You Can Bruise. And so at some point in December 2000, you put up this first one, Murder by Death.
Yeah, although this webpage, which I also created, says it was early 2000. But if we're looking at the Internet Archive and it's saying in December we were still on the first one, then clearly this webpage, which says early 2000, is wrong, or I left it up all year without being able to think of anything, which isn't good because Murder by Death is the name of a spoof murder mystery movie, so it's not even an original joke. Or it's like the psych thing where I'd independently come up with the same joke.
You know, you're like 18, right? And you Murder by Death is a funny joke.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good joke.
And also 2000, it's before you. It's easy to find out that someone else has already. It's before it's as easy to figure out that someone else has already come up with your joke.
If I'd thought I should do a search on this, you know, I should Alta Vista this and see if someone else has used the joke, I think I probably would have found it on IMDb.
That's right.
But, you know, no harm done.
All right. So, who is your audience, by the way?
Whoever was reading my webpage.
Yeah, like, who is that in 2000?
Various misfits. People I knew online. Your Chris Straubs. Your Sumana Harihureshwaras.
Yeah, yeah. In 2000, I was reading your site. I was an undergrad at UC Berkeley. So 2000, actually, you're not in college anymore at this point.
No, I'm working. I'm out of school.
That's right. You've finished up at UCLA. So a lot of these friends are friends you met at UCLA.
Yeah, but now we're keeping in touch online.
Right. So you've moved to the glamorous Bay Area to work in Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And so then at some point you move on and you start adding some more. And again, it's hand done and you change it every so often, every few days or every mm-hmm. few weeks or something like that. And from that early period, what I'm going to call the slow cooker period.
Okay.
What are some of your favorites?
The Verdict was Murder. I remember Chris saying he really liked that one, I think. Or maybe it was just me who liked that one.
Mm-hmm. This is Chris Straub, now big deal internet cartoonist and humorist.
Yeah, yeah. I like the ones that don't just focus on the murder, but sort of play with the justice system. Like, you get the whole Law and Order experience.
Uh-huh. Like, The Jury Was Framed?
The Jury Was Framed is great. I love whenever they bring the trial into it. Like, they conflate the crime and the investigation and the trial.
Uh-huh.
And
it's just like, here's all these words to you imply, oh, something having to do with the, you know, punishment.
Yeah. Yeah, all the cliches of the cop show.
Of procedurals.
Yeah, of procedurals.
Like, I feel like we didn't do enough with evidence.
Yeah, there's a great one somewhere in here. They murdered the evidence.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The Deadly Autopsy is the one I like.
Mm-hmm.
And the very early ones are playing more with they're sort of kitbashing the cliches. And then it gets a little bit more into references to other things, like death and taxes and more death. And maybe the turning point here is Dude, Where's My Murder? Because that's a very topical reference.
Right.
And...
yeah, Mask of the Red Murder, Healthy, Wealthy, and Dead, Till Death Do Us Murder. Those are classic.
Yeah.
You could have those in something from, like, radio. Like the soap opera radio era. And
yeah,
then
yeah.
You get to Dude, Where's My Murder?
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure this was when... we had started hanging out and we were...
oh, yeah.
We were just coming out with a ton of these.
So this is... okay, so to give... we get into late 2000, early 2001.
Mm-hmm.
January of 2001 is when Leonard and I first met in person.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a research project, or rather, I was sort of a research assistant to a professor of mine who went and interviewed Leonard at his workplace, and I came along. A little while after that, I emailed him about something, and then we started emailing more, and then we started hanging out. And there was one of these weekends where I think Leonard, you know, crossed the bay into Berkeley to hang out, and we just kept each other laughing so hard by just coming up with, just like filling a notebook page or two with more and more of these. And I think that must be around when you were like, oh, I should write a program so I just post a new one of these every day.
Right, because now it's not something I think about occasionally, and if I like it, I put it up. There's a backlog of these, and I gotta get rid of them.
Right, so now we enter the there is a backlog period.
Right, and so the first one that I can definitely say you made up, appropriately enough, is Dave Barry is not making up this murder. Because you were a Dave Barry fan, and I had kind of heard of Dave Barry.
Right, and he had a book called Dave Barry is Not Making This Up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So also from this era, you can see that it's 2001 because one of them is peer-to-peer murder.
Yeah, like that's not really a joke anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be an actual Law & Order episode title.
Right. I mean, the murder blockchain.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Murder in the cloud. I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, see, those seem funny to us now, but in 15 years, those be, blockchain murder? Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Here's another one I like. Buy one jury, get one free.
Ooh.
Where there's no murder. It's just like corruption.
Well, sure. Motive of the month.
Yeah, that's good.
Uh-huh. So, you know, we keep going. So it's April, May, June, and so on, 2001. What are you loving?
Part one, myrrh.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty good.
Some of them are. Oh, and then like the first one with a date on it, April 24th, 2001. Dial M for death. I love that one.
It has the same feel of they've gotten something wrong that
yeah.
you mentioned from Police Squad.
Yeah,
you liked that.
Yeah. Yeah, and so a lot of these early ones are just references to something where. You know, some noun has been replaced by murder.
Like all the pretty murders.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's not murder. Death in the art of murder cycle maintenance.
But then you've got ones that are both more highbrow and a little in the reference and a little more clever in the construction, like the human blood stain.
Uh-huh.
And then there's ones which are the ones that are maybe more dear to my heart, like objection, murdering the witness.
Because, again, it has to do with the criminal justice system.
Yeah,
it's trial. It's,
yeah, it's like the crime happens during its own trial. It's like the Police Squad thing where people making the show are not on the same page.
I think something like this shows up sometimes in your science fiction as well, where you're interested in taking the arenas that are often very formal stages that are meant to be ritualistic and smashing those facades and having things happen in those, which are very sort of like gross and strip things away to the essence of conflict.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, you know, I do that am particularly original in the way I do that, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I do like that. That's like, the Marx Brothers type comedy.
Here's one that clearly is influenced by the particular kinds of nerds we are. Girdle, Murder, Bach.
Also, Bob and Carol and Dead and Alice. No, that's the movie.
That's the movie.
It's not the cryptography.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bob and Alice.
So we're getting into the summer of 2001, during which time I'm away. I'm in Russia.
Right.
Doing some study. So I wonder whether you can see any patterns here.
I feel like it's probably just a ton of backlog.
Yeah.
There's one I not guilty by reason of murder.
How do you feel about the long gavel of justice?
That one's different because that sounds more like a judge show. uh-huh. like Judge, I don't know, Judge Judy, but
right,
it's all about the person in the robe who makes rulings. I don't know, like it's got it uses the language of the police procedural, but it's about the judge who,
and it doesn't have any violence in it at all.
Yeah, no, that feels more like the title of the TV show and not the title of an episode.
It feels to me like maybe one of the one-off episodes is a little bit like Lower Decks in Star Trek The Next Generation, where it's an episode that focuses entirely on someone who's usually more of a secondary player.
Yeah, could be.
And then at the end, they have to kill somebody.
Because in Law and Order, the judge is always in the story, but not that I've seen a lot of Law and Order, but it doesn't seem like the judge is a major character in the story.
Right. If they are, something generally has gone wrong. Yeah. You saw that Indian movie Court, where you do get to see a little bit of the behind the scenes of what it is to be a judge.
Yeah.
And doesn't look good.
No.
No.
I'm not in that movie.
I thought you might want to speak about Plug and Play Dead.
Yeah, that's a different kind of joke, I guess. Because a lot of these they're just replacing a word with murder.
Uh-huh.
Plug and Play Dead.
Zoigma?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't want to commit to that on mic.
Okay. How do you feel about these two right next to each other?
So the ones she's pointing to are Kafka's The Trial for Murder and Obey Your Thirst for Evil. And I think at this point they were being chosen randomly from the backlog, because I wouldn't have put two that had ellipses right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like Kafka's The Trial for Murder because it takes the source material and kind of ruins it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It says, okay.
Oh, it's a murder trial. Well, now the trial is just a procedural.
So we're getting into August 2001. We see it was a dark and deadly night.
A murder of a salesman. That's one where it's just replacing a word with murder, but I think that one really works.
I think she's got a ticket to die. Is fun. I remember you and I were sort of trying to find things where it wasn't just the word murder.
Yeah, we're skipping over a ton of those because they do get a little bit repetitive.
Yeah, yeah. Also, at this point in our lives, like, I didn't know anybody who had ever been affected by murder.
Sure, yeah, it's always...
we knew that in some distant sense... This was a little bit distasteful, but it was really funny to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get to, let's see, I'd rather be killing? What is that a joke about?
Aren't there bumper stickers that say what you'd rather be doing than driving a car?
Yeah.
Or being a car, I guess.
And then I remember we had sort of a cluster. I guess you must have chosen these deliberately, because you said, okay, we're going to do like a highbrow literary week.
Yeah, it was Modern Fiction Week.
Right. And so that was starting with?
The Amazing Murders of Cavalier and Clay.
Uh-huh.
A Heartbreaking Corpse of Staggering Genius.
Uh-huh.
And Me Die Deadly One Dead.
By David Sedaris, or as we called him...
Deaded Sedetis?
Yes. And that was September 11th, 2001.
Yeah. So suddenly it seemed in really poor taste to be doing this, to be doing these stupid jokes. But apparently that decision only lasted 3 days, because we've got one on September 14th. And then I think it's around that time there was some problem with the website hosting, so it was intermittent for a while. It came back in October.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so when you look back on that, when you look back on the decision of like, oh, this is tasteless, and then you see the proof that on the 14th, you were like, well, I guess I can put it back now. What was your attitude towards... the sort of lowering the flag to half-mast of tonight's episode and the duration on that?
I really don't know. And I'm not sure what decision I would make today. Because it doesn't become more tasteless because something happens in the real world, but it does mean, like, people aren't in the mood for that kind of humor, I think.
So this comes back to, I mean, one of the things you're better known for in the internet bot community, like the Twitter bot community, mm-hmm. is the essay Bots Should Punch Up.
Sure.
And in it, you say that, look, if you are a, you know, cis, het, straight, white man like me, you're looking for the gray areas, and the gray areas are not gray in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows when it comes to stand-up that you can kind of make any awful insult you want as long as you punch up, mm-hmm. as long as you punch towards where the pain is coming from.
Yeah.
And so it seems like there's a way in which moments of mass tragedy create a moment where we literally get disoriented about which way is up. Where all of us could be...
We all got punched.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the same time, these aren't... It's a very abstract kind of punching. Like, it's talking about things that are horrible.
Right.
But you don't connect it with anything. But then if there's this ambient horrible thing that has happened, your mind keeps going to it. And I guess it's, you know, it's a kindness to just not remind people of that more than necessary. Because they're already thinking about it all the time.
Yeah. This goes back to a question I wanted to ask you about, which is when you look back at what your goal was with tonight's episode, what was it?
It was... At a certain point, it was to, you know, have something different every day on the website.
Because you weren't necessarily blogging every day,
even if it was just a three-word joke. And that's why there's so many of these that if I were to assemble a book, let's say, I would cut. Because a lot of them aren't that funny. But some of them are really good jokes, and this is kind of the only medium those jokes can happen.
I mean, this is 2001, you know, 2000, 2003. This is way before all the microblogging.
Right. But I guess medium is not the right word. It's the only genre where you can make these jokes.
Is episode titles, headlines, SSIDs for Wi-Fi networks, bumper stickers, laptop stickers. You know, we have this place in culture for extremely short templated things.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk a little bit sometimes about the joy of the constraint of something like, you know, a limerick, something like that. And so the specific genre of silly title for an episode of a police procedural has this tiny, you know, there are particular facets that only work, that only shine in a gem that starts this way.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the three places I know of that have done tonight's episode, there was Police Squad, which was a parody of police procedurals.
Yeah.
There was Mr. Tiny Theater, which would reference those police procedurals in a funny way. And then there was tonight's episode.
And then Psych, kind of.
Yeah, Psych. Yeah, sorry. Which is also a procedural / parody of same.
Yeah, it is very much a parody in a lot of ways. And there's this, there can be a bit of a joy of the personal here, like amideadornot.com. There was a website called hotornot.com, dear listener, where people got raided by their neighbors. The crowdsourced panopticon is not as new as you think it is.
It was called Hot or Not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe it was Am I Hot or Not?
I don't know. I mean, I put down amideadornot.com. I guess I didn't know what the site was called.
I remember, I think it was Alexei Othonin-Girard who came up with Symphony Number Death in G Murder. So you get these memories, these tiny chunks of memory of, oh, right, I know such and such friend who I maybe haven't talked to in a little while came up with this or that one.
This American Death. That's another one, like Murder of a Salesman, where... It's simple, but it's not just a corny word replacement.
Right. So I'm just gonna keep skimming through, and we'll mention some of our favorites. Mm-hmm. I do have a soft spot for the ones that are clearly things programmers thought of, like java.util.murder.
That feels that way sometimes, am I right?
And if code is free, why not murder? Which is a reference to a Salon.com article by Annalee Nowitz about the overlap between people in the free software community and people who practice polyamory.
Yeah, that one's a deep cut.
It is an extremely deep cut. Guns, Germs, and Murder. Reference to Guns, Germs, and Steel by Jared Diamond.
Yeah, that one's not great, but it's a little bit above because...
Why?
Guns, Germs, and Steel... You could translate that title as murder, murder, and murder.
That's
three,
true.
Three ways of killing people.
Right.
So just saying, oh, this one, you know, we're going to throw murder in there. Murder's already there.
Well, how about murder side? M-U-R-D-E-R-C-I-D-E.
Yeah, that one. I like that one.
It's very over the top.
It's nonsensical in a fun way.
I see you have here Mountain Doom. So I assume that's you're spelling out the word mount in Mount Doom in, what is that, Lord of the Rings, right?
I hate to disappoint you. That is a reference to a popular soda called Mountain Dew.
Oh. I really enjoy this one, 99 Bottles of Fear on the Wall.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's good because it backs off a little from the murder, stabby, death thing. It's more a thriller.
How do you feel about the Poison Wine Bible, a reference to Barbara Kingsolver's The Poison Wood Bible?
That one's better than a lot of the you know, me die deadly, one dead, which I think is over the top and not in a way that's super funny.
I will say that I kind of enjoy the take on the Electronic Frontier Foundation's motto, online freedom doesn't just happen, as online murder doesn't just happen. So here you have in mid-2002 an arc.
Yeah, so Jason Robbins was my first, I guess my first manager at a full-time job I had. Really loved tonight's episode. And I think he came up with a few of the ones we've talked about up to this point, but he did this big one called The Jury Did It, which is a 14-part series that took the idea of combining the crime and investigation and trial into one event and sort of dragged it out. So it starts with opening arguments of the apocalypse, part two, testimony in blood, part four, rebuttal from the grave.
Yeah.
Part five, the defense rests in peace. all the way up to part 13, sentenced to murder.
I think part 12 is amazing.
We find the defendant dead.
Yeah.
And then the somewhat anticlimactic part 14, deadly appeal, vengeful reversal.
I feel like vengeful isn't the best adjective there, but I got to admire Jason Robbins for carrying this out to this level.
Yeah, I like vengeful because it's a little bit wrong.
Uh-huh.
Right. But yeah, that part, it's a little bit of an anticlimax.
Well, it's also kind of weird, right? Judges shouldn't be vengeful.
Well, so. you clearly haven't encountered the long gavel of justice.
So here we are in mid-2002. Mm-hmm. We have, well, this is a reference to, I think, Usenet, right? Alt.murder, die, die, die.
Yeah, well, that one's good.
Uh-huh. I like, you have to walk before you can run for your life.
For some reason, I like, oh no, I know, it's actually, now that I think about it, it's obvious why I like it. So I murdered an axe murderer.
Why is it obvious?
Because it's a movie that already has murder in the title.
Uh-huh.
And then you've stuck another murder in there.
I think we have a really good cluster here. Ding dong, the U is dead.
That one's really corny.
The Years of Rice and Assault.
Yeah.
That is a take on Kim Stanley Robinson's book. Mm-hmm. Did you like that book?
Yeah, it was all right.
All right. Any time that you read a book, did you just find yourself...
I think any time I looked at a book.
Can you explain the one from September 3rd?
The Amazing X10 Wireless Murder. That was a reference to a spam pop-up ad that would sell you a wireless web camera you could use to spy on people.
Alive and Well and Living in Oblivion?
Yeah, that was...
Is that a Margaritaville thing?
I'm actually not sure what the reference is. That was one of Jason Robbins's.
Okay. And you were getting some from friends. Basically, a mark of someone who really enjoyed your website with its ramblings about software and Godzilla was that they might send you a tonight's episode.
Yeah,
right?
They'd send me an email.
Right. Nickel and Died, a reference to Barbara Ehrenreich's Nickel and Dimed.
Yes, absolutely.
Error 404, Pulse Not Found.
That's decent.
I feel like someone should use that.
That's probably in the 60th percentile of Error 404 jokes.
Yep. Here, look at September 28th.
To Knife's episode. That was when it went meta, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like an often overlooked one, September 26, 2002, Murder's Most Deadly Gamble.
Yeah, what's going on there?
It almost makes sense, but it doesn't.
I guess so. I guess my mind skipped past it because I couldn't quite make sense of it.
Yeah,
but actually, it's
hard to parse.
I should sit with that.
So the joke happens on a like the syntactic level almost.
A Hard Day's Fright.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's look at what's missing from M blank blank D E R.
You are.
Yeah.
Okay. That was Jason's. That was a very clever one.
Oh, Jason really contributed a lot to this.
Yeah. No, he did a ton of these.
He did a lot of the best ones. Here's a Unix joke, murder-9.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, forgive me, for I have died.
I like that one because you think it's going to be I have murdered. But it's not a sin to die, per se. So it's like it doesn't even work as a cop show episode.
You're right. It doesn't. I think that the way that people... I mean, you have kind of ghost stories going on in some of these cases. Mm. There's a lot of, hold on, there's no way someone can actually speak from beyond the grave, and therefore this title doesn't work. Mea Maxima Kilpa?
Yeah.
Like culpa, right?
Not a big
content,
fan of that one.
Content type text/murder...
I like Killing Me Softly with His Gun.
I think the reason I don't love that, even though it's very clever, is because it comes a little bit closer to making it personal.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas Heavens to Murder Troid.
It's like a Snagglepuss reference, I guess.
I think that, we get a lot of murdery ones here.
There's TGIM, which at least is subtle.
Yeah. We're getting into November or so. Now that's what I call murder. A reference to the CD compilations,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We have one here that's a reference to a Kannada.
Oh, yeah. The Kannada construct, Murder Gitter.
So, my parents are Kannada speakers. They speak a language from South India called Kannada. And just as you might be used to, if you're not used to Kannada, but maybe you run into hearing people say something like scissors, schmizzers.
Right. So, it's sort of translation of murder, schmurder.
Right. But into the way that people in, Kannada-speaking people would say... scissors, gizzers,
mm-hmm.
And here, murder, gitter. One of those lovely little curlicues of life, right?
Yeah, I guess if you don't like lizards, you'd say lizards, gizzards.
That's right.
Which is also a good thing to sort of shout.
Because that reminds you that lizards have gizzards?
Well, it's like Great Caesar's ghost.
Uh-huh.
It's like a old-timey oath that you might utter.
I feel as though here we're getting, things aren't as creative as they were.
Yeah, a lot of the easy ones have been taken, but also a lot of the clever ones have been taken. I mean, we've done like 400 at this point.
Right. So we get, like, Whistler's murder.
Not good. Too dead to die is decent.
I guess, yeah. Tell me about murder in the first, second, third, and home. It's a baseball reference?
Yeah, I think that one's Jason's.
Oh, okay.
It's conceptually good, but I think when you deliver it, it's not as funny.
I like this little piggy went to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, that's nice.
Love at first blight. Pieces of hate.
The moment I sawed you.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah, I feel like that's like dinner theater comedy from the 50s sort of joke.
Here's a few that are a little bit more nerdy. One is murder considered harmful.
Mm-hmm.
In reference to go-to considered hard by what, Dykstra?
Yeah, I believe so.
And murder finds kitten, all one word, a reference to your path-breaking game, Robot Finds Kitten.
I like this one. First, do harm.
Here's a reference to anti-abortion propaganda, the not-so-silent scream.
Yeah.
And a reference to Cheers, where everybody knows your knife.
Where everybody knows your knife.
Yes, yes.
I like Oklahomicide.
Yeah, that's musical. Good. I feel like the word homicide doesn't really get used that much here.
Yeah, it's... I feel like it's a more... I mean, they're talking about the same thing. Both horrible things, but I feel like it's a more serious word than murder because it's a Latin.
I think it's also word. It's simply by being three syllables, it fits in fewer places.
Yeah,
I sort of enjoy the highbrow. It's deadly, but is it art?
Many have asked this question.
And then just above that,
single slayer healthcare.
It's kind of prefiguring the purge and stuff like that.
I guess, yeah.
Citizens for a deader America. Here's a reference to Vannevar Bush's As We May Think, As We May Die.
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic just word replacement. It's cool for what it references.
I enjoy the one just after that.
Yeah, I'd kill you, but then I'd have to tell you.
That's like Burn Before Reading. Yeah. It's a good, where all you're doing is you're reversing some order. Here's another political one. When death is outlawed, only outlaws will die.
I feel like that could be a tagline for a real movie.
Yeah. Yeah, a short story about the singularity or something. Here's a reference to Douglas Adams' Last Chance to See, Last Chance to Die.
Hmm.
What?
I acknowledge it's there. I don't think it's that funny.
You gotta fight for your right to DK. How do you feel?
I feel like that one doesn't work, and it might just be me, but when you say, when one says DK like that, it makes me think of Donkey Kong. So it's like the rap at the beginning of that Donkey Kong game.
There's a rap at the beginning of Donkey Kong?
Not the 1980s Donkey Kong, but like the Nintendo 64.
There was a rap?
Donkey Kong, yeah.
How did it go?
Maybe we can watch a video of it after we record this.
Okay, all right. See how they run but can't hide. Good. The Barbarian of Seville. Nice. Deadly Do Right. Nice. A Comedy of Terrors. That's legit.
Yeah, some of these are all right. I don't think this would be good as an actual title, but I like Curiosity Killed the Cat Who Ate the Canary.
Yeah, that is
nice. There's two murders in there.
Yeah.
And so like a double mystery.
Here we got two different word replacement sort of things for things that were happening at that time. Like the bone identity, like the Bourne identity. Is that Chris?
I think that must have been you.
Me?
I mean, you like the Bourne identity, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think I didn't get that until just now. It's like, bone, that's a horrible word to see in a title. Yeah, that checks out. Let's put it in.
Just now you're getting this, the Bourne identity.
I guess, yeah. I feel like I never got that joke before.
And then Murderers of Catan, like Settlers of Catan. It's all right. With Malice Towards All. That's great.
Well, thank
that
you.
Must be you.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to take all the credit. There's a lot of these... A lot of these are not mine. Probably most of them at this point. But I feel like With Malice Towards All could be the name of a book put out by a Washington Post humor columnist in the 1950s.
Or like an Art Buchwald or something.
Yeah, yeah, that sort of thing.
I mean, that was the 70s, but still. I like a bright, shining die. Like a bright, shining lie. If I were a dead man. Yeah, that could be in like Shoggoth on the Roof.
Yeah, that's true. I think in Shoggoth on the Roof, it's If I Were an Old One, but it's a similar idea.
Think outside the pox. Possibly the only reference we have here to an infectious disease.
Yeah, there's Love at First Blight. That's kind of similar. Although I guess that could just be corn smut or something.
Here's a sort of more thought-provoking one. The serial killer meets the parallel killer.
I like Blood is Thicker Than More Blood.
Is it, though?
I guess it depends on, you know, it could be true, could be false.
All right. I'll mention a few more that I particularly enjoy. Pain, no gain.
Mm.
So this is a story of a time when there was pain but no gain. Not Another Teen Murder, which is like Not Another Teen Movie. So Caveat Corpus, I think you must have come up with that.
Yeah, that's... I feel like that one doesn't work as well, but that's another one that combines cliches. It's like...
Caveat Emptor.
And Habeas Corpus.
Right.
By
the way, I think this is a real bumper sticker. That Which Does Not Kill Me Didn't Try Hard Enough.
I think the bumper sticker should be going the other way, because it's sort of inviting...
Yeah, but people could do the Come At Me, Bro.
Maybe.
Sure.
I wouldn't tempt fate that way.
Okay, here's another one that I feel like I've really seen. Die Now and Beat the Rush. People talk about that. Like, the idea is, oh, there is some, you know, apocalypse coming where there will be a great bolus of humanity trying to head towards St. Peter's Gate. So die now and beat the rush.
I guess. That seems like the kind of humor you might have if you're 90 years old and it's on your mind.
I like this one. It's all fun and games when someone loses an eye. That's like a Charles Adams.
That is her Charles Adams. I feel like that one is also a little bit too personal to really be funny, but it is a good construct.
I think the nice thing here is, instead of it being, oh, look, there is one person killing another person, it's more, I imagine, you know, like I said, the Charles Adams cartoon, yeah. Like a New Yorker cartoon, where there is some malevolent person in a park seeing other people and making no move to interfere.
Mm-hmm.
And this person sees the coming tragedy of someone losing an eye and only feels schadenfreude, but hasn't actually done anything to cause this to happen. I think that makes it feel more acceptable, even though it is more personal.
All right.
Is that recording again?
Yeah, we're back after some technical difficulties.
Did we finish talking about It's All Fun and Games?
Yeah, we were wrapping it up.
So we get through summer 2003. I enjoy The Way to a Man's Heart is Through the Sternum. I think partly because it's just more clever with the wording.
I like Where's Waldo? He's dead. Because it's like, it's the you wanted to figure it out for yourself, and we're just telling you.
So that's broken in maybe some of the same way that Police Squad.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, potentially.
Uh-huh. I enjoy some of the ones that have clever wording here, like The Canterbury Tales, Good Dibrations, La Vida Choca, and so on. There's a Sweeps Week that I think is as tasteless as Sweeps Weeks often are, but it has at least something that I think is a little bit more mentionable on a family program, Cameos from Beyond.
I was not aware this was a family program.
We're a family.
Well, that's true.
I love you, sweetie.
Oh, I love you, too. We are a family. I didn't make that connection.
You didn't think... We'll have this argument later. I enjoy Die, Die, Love. Like, Bye, Bye, Love. And some disassembly required is a little subtle. Do you want to talk about Batteries Not Included?
No, I think that's one of the one where explaining the joke ruins it.
all the perfumes of Arabia will not kill this little hand, which is a Macbeth reference. And we get to Baby, You're Cold Outside, which I think is fun, a little bit subtle. Tell me about 2003, June 2nd.
Yeah, so, well, May 31st is Beating a Dead Corpse. And I think by this time it sort of started to feel like a chore. Like I think it was less, I come up with these in my sleep and I just got to write them down. It was more, I'm going to take 10 minutes and come up with 15 and then we'll have 2 weeks worth of material. June 2nd, we have Blah, Blah, Blah Murder.
Which is how they're sort of feeling. To you,
which maybe
point.
Should have been the last one.
Yeah. Like, I think you said, well, I asked, is this the jumping of the shark? And you said to Knife's episode.
I think if you want to pinpoint a shark jump, it would have to be the point where you first went meta.
All right. So then we get to the Beatles anthology, which is actually, there's a lot of real cleverness here, but that's Jason.
Yeah, Jason has come up with a lot of clever puns, like Paperback Writhe,r Axeman, yeah. I Want a Cold Dead Hand.
And Stabby Road, which
Stabby
you like.
Road, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty decent.
And Norwegian Deadwood.
I don't like that one too much.
Yeah. And then, let's see, so we're now in July 2003. I see that on July 4th you had two.
Yeah, I think we rushed one into production. Because we had Control-Alt-Destroy, and then I must have come up with a holiday one, because it changed to We Hold These Truths to Be Self-Immolating.
I am very fond of Vast Pain to Clarksville, I think, because
yeah,
it's
decent.
Very clever.
There's it's like three puns in four words.
Sure. And then July 13th.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. This is Ain't Misbegotten. And I think about this one a lot, not just in the context of tonight's episode. It just seems like a very poignant thing to say. But because it's a tonight's episode, it's a corny parody of this pre-existing thing, and it can't really be used in a way that actually feels poignant. It just is going to feel goofy.
I don't know. Maybe you can find a way to make it more evocative. Palindrome Week.
Yeah. Jason, again, very, very clever.
clever, so these are all parodies of known palindromes.
Or they're actually palindromes. So there's the parodies like Madam, I'm Stabbin'. And then there's actual palindromes like Live Evil.
Do you, looking back, when you see the arcs that Jason did, do you wish that you tried to do that more? That you maybe would have found, you were getting bored with it. Do you think maybe one way you could have gotten less bored with it would have been to try and do something more with, like, the game of meta constraints? So it's not just each of these needs to be tonight's episodes, but, you know, putting, doing something Olipin, you know, oh, I can't use letter E, or using themes, or making a narrative of it.
Not for this purpose. I feel like what I should have done was invent Twitter. I feel like that would have been a much, much more profitable use of my time. Because it's a constrained joke, and if you're bored with the constraint, you can move on, which I eventually did.
Right. Yeah. We're getting, you know, we're in July 2003.
Yeah, it's coming to its.
The scroll bar is moving inexorably to its end. You know. Mm-hmm.
I do like A Victimful Crime.
I Get a Drowned.
Yeah.
That's clever.
Yeah.
This one goes to Oblivion. Like, this one goes to 11.
Yeah.
Oblivion shows up a fair amount.
Oblivion was a death word that Jason used a lot, and nobody else who contributed really used it. So probably all of the Oblivion ones are his.
End It Like Beckham. Just so you know exactly what year this is. While You Were Dead.
That's like those old pads of paper that say, "Well, you were out."
Well, I thought it was like a reference to like the Sandra Bullock film, "While You Were Sleeping."
No, although that also, that's probably more easier for people to remember nowadays, because I don't think anybody remembers those pads of paper.
Well, you and I do. Dye cleaning.
Like dry cleaning.
Oh, dry cleaning. As you can tell, listeners, we're understanding some of these from each other. License plate week.
Yeah. You want to guess who came up with these parodies of license plate slogans?
Jason Robbins?
Yes. I feel like Land of 1,000 Lakes of Fire.
You've Got a Fiend in Pennsylvania. That's pretty great. First in Fright. That's good. Yeah, that's like a Halloween.
It's like a haunted house.
It does. Themed
around North Carolina.
That sounds like a great haunted house. Mm-hmm. I wanna know more about that haunted house. We are now well into the late summer, early fall of 2003. Liberty, Equality, Fratricide.
You didn't see that one coming.
I didn't. I'm gonna say that. Here we have some more tech ones. There's a spam virus week and an e-commerce week, Jason Robbins.
Yeah, I think I may have contributed a spam virus week one, but this is interesting because these are subject lines in a time before good spam filtering that were very, very common.
You would see, like, if you saw this subject line, you knew it was spam.
Right.
Like, some of the actual ones, anything that mentioned Viagra, mortgages.
Yeah, this was, I feel like people weren't even, you know, changing letters for numbers to fool spam filters.
This is very early in the arms race.
Yeah, very early in the spam filter era.
So some of these are, right, so cool a flash, enjoy it.
Yeah,
right?
I always thought that was a very interesting subject line, so I think that one is mine. So cool a flash, enjoy it.
Right. And we see, I feel like when lenders compete, you win was, I think that might have just been a TV ad.
Maybe.
Right? But this was when lenders compete, you die. And then we go on to e-commerce week, where we mentioned the click here to unsurvive.
That is one of my favorite Tonight episodes. It captures the contempt so well. Click here to unsurvive.
The gold box and one-click murder. So that really takes you to this moment where it's 2003 and Amazon is already ascendant enough mm-hmm. that we're talking about the Amazon gold box and the one-click patent.
They still have the gold box?
I don't know. Buried in a gold box, one-click murder, catalog of horrors, and shipping bill of fools both feel very timeless to me. It's interesting because they're not really e-commerce-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have Kiki's Assassination Service, which is your libel on Studio Ghibli.
Is it libel?
I don't know. Probably not. Tell me about A Pocket Full of Lie.
Like A Pocket Full of Rye. It's a nursery rhyme.
How does it go?
Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye, 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie.
Oh, that's how... Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could have done... Just 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. That's a nice episode.
It sure is. Home Improvement Week. Is this probably Jason Robbins?
It's Jason Robbins.
And yeah.
I don't know if I like this one, but it's very evocative. Installing a ceiling fang. But I just have this picture of like this little pointy tooth on the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, it can't hurt anybody. It's... Unless you're very tall.
So we, you know, go into October, and you know, there's some fun for all rages. Don't forget to spite. Those are fun. You know, not everything is murder, but yeah, there is murder here. And finally, you decided, when did you decide to end it? Was it October or earlier?
It was probably a little earlier. I was like, we're gonna draw down the backlog, and then Jason wrote a finale for tonight's episode,
mm-hmm.
which I think was fabulous. He called it "Tonight's Episode Buys the Farm."
And so the metaphor was
the metaphor was it was literally buying a farm, I guess. That part I'm not as crazy about, but I do like the idea of.
Well, so you stopped ranting.
I guess. But yeah, part one, nothing down.
Why is that a tonight's episode, though?
Yeah, see, that one's I think, is weak. But they do get better. Good faith, bad blood.
Mm-hmm.
Your final offer. I think that's probably the highlight of tonight's episode, by the farm.
Uh-huh.
Part five, signing your life away. So that was, you know, supposedly the last episode.
Yeah.
The last tonight's episode. And then Jason did an anti-tonight's episode, which is the actual last one. He called it Turning Over a New Leaf, and it's Last Will and Tasty Mint.
Why is that Turning Over a New Leaf? Tell me what's going on.
Because this whole time, tonight's episode has been relentlessly taking things that were fun or lighthearted or good or pure, and has been twisting them
to be about violence.
To be about violence and death and horrible, horrible things. And then in the final episode, we take something that is about death and we turn it into a dessert.
A tasty mint.
A tasty mint. Last Will and Tasty Mint.
So you like it?
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, it takes, you know, 7 minutes and 30 seconds to explain it to somebody. So it's probably not the best finale, but I personally find it very creatively satisfying. It's sort of like a
giant subversion.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we've jumped the shark, we've gone on way too long, we've done an elaborate series finale that was uneven at best. But then at the end, like the last thing you see is sort of you pull the string and the whole house comes falling down.
This kind of reminds me of the end of Every Word.
Yeah, I can see that.
For those of you who weren't aware, so our friend Allison Parrish set up one of the first and most influential Twitter bots, which tweeted every word in a dictionary, and then people assumed that it finished up
With I think there's a word that's just 17 Z's that means the last word in the dictionary.
Something like that. And then it tweeted out a few more words, I think starting with eclair, that started with an E with an accent.
Yeah, E with a cute accent.
Right. And there were Twitter riots.
Yeah, by the time this bot finished its rounds, Twitter had advanced to the point where there were people ready to be angry about
arbitrary things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Allison later said, well, I hope everyone learned a lesson about collation. But yeah, the ending, the way that the ending can be so, it's not that there's an anticlimax, it's that there is a climax, and then there's this unexpected coda.
Yeah. And bringing it back to Mystery Science Theater, it is a little bit like the, I think they call it a stinger. It's this little clip that they show at the end of every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the episode of Mystery Science Theater, you're watching the movie with them, and they're talking, and they're visible on the screen. And the stinger is one place where they just let the bad movie speak for itself and be bad on its own.
It's a tiny excerpt?
Yeah, it's just a little, you know, 5-second clip from the movie of somebody saying something goofy, or, you know, somebody laughing in a funny way, or something like that. And they're doing the same job they do in the rest of Mystery Science Theater, which is to make fun of the movie, but they're doing it in the opposite way. They're doing it, you know, by more or less deceptive editing rather than by overlaying themselves onto it. I say deceptive editing, although these movies are bad, but
targeted and directed and deliberate editing to, you know, prove a point of view, which is at odds with the filmmakers of the works that they are transforming.
Right. I guess it's out of context.
Yeah.
Like somebody will say a line, and it's not like this line was genius in its original context, but it probably made a little more sense in context. It's just funny when you see it on its own.
And that trick of taking something out of context and then twisting it so that the new context, you know, it makes a different kind of sense and you're enjoying now the layer cake aspect of it, is part of what makes some of the best tonight's episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely better if you come up with that kind of joke than if you, you know, just take something and replace a word with a horror word like murder.
Yeah. By the way, like we said, you know, Leonard came up with a lot of these. Jason, I came up with some. Brendan Atkins came up with some of these, although I gotta say I can't specifically look at any of these and say, oh yeah, that was Brendan's.
Mm-hmm.
But Brendan, if you're listening, maybe you can let us know which of these you seem to really remember yours. So we've talked a little about the historical context, the goal, sort of rhythm and speed of this thing, the machinery that you wrote, maybe probably some Python scripts or something.
Yeah,
right?
it would. Yeah, every day it would pick one from a list and write it to a file.
Mm-hmm. And some of the patterns.
Actually, that's the same pattern that a lot of my bots use now that I think about it.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to get to that. I wanted to talk about what do you see in this now that it's 14 years ago, mm-hmm. and you make a lot of Twitter bots and other automated toys and stuff. What do you see here and what do you learn?
I think this may have been where I learned the idea of a little bit of, you know, a little joke, a little piece of something interesting delivered regularly is an alternative to I have a blog and I must write an essay on this topic. Mm-hmm. You know, it can just be a little joke every day. Something that doesn't sound that unusual today. but there wasn't really a place for it back then.
Right. I mean, we had like one a day calendars.
Yeah, that's true. It could have gone on a calendar.
Like a Far Side.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of a Far Side calendar, but instead of the Far Side caption, it was a tonight's episode. So then you take
Arbitrary Far Side.
Yeah, you take two forms of subversive humor and you sort of pit them against each other.
You've always loved doing that. You've always loved the mashup. It's never enough for you. Just like you may not like a lot of different ingredients in a salad, but you sure do like the buffet of ideas and,
yeah,
and putting things together.
And I admit I'm not crazy about just to look at one of these, try before you die. But if there's a Far Side cartoon with, you know, the cow talking to the farmer and underneath it says tonight's episode, try before you die, that has a certain appeal to me.
Well, this gets back to like one of the bot styles that you have mentioned in your talks about bots is the bot of juxtaposition.
Yeah.
And so adding, when you look at these, some of them are juxtaposition, some of them are addition, some of them are, and then addition.
Yeah, I like the juxtaposition ones. And then if you were to juxtapose these with some other thing, I would like it even more.
Yeah.
It's really a linear scale. You can predict how much I like something by how much juxtaposition there is.
So, all right, what would your challenge be? Here's a corpus. Here's mm-hmm. a corpus of 623 little pieces of text.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we should remind our listeners that they could do stuff with it?
Yeah. These tonight's episodes are licensed under Creative Commons by share alike, like most of the stuff on my website. You can use it. I don't know. I mean, if you can think of something, then go for it. But if you're inspired by this, I would try to come up with original jokes. just because they're so short. A lot of them are conceptually very repetitive. So, you know, I would exercise caution, but it is fun to come up with them.
I think that it might be interesting to do something, not just to reuse them, but to analyze them, you know?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
What if you took this corpus and then try to figure out, you know, put this through TensorFlow or something. See if you can cause a computer to automatically generate new tonight's episodes.
That is an interesting idea. I don't know enough about those techniques, but I feel like the corpus might be too small, but it could be worth a try.
623 episodes.
But they're so short is the thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities to them.
I feel like if you ran it through a neural network, you just get blah 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 murder over and over again.
Well, you know, if you need to supplement it, you can add psych. You can add the psych episodes.
Yeah, that's true. and probably by this point, there's a page on the Mystery Science Theater fan wiki that lists all the fictional tonight's episodes from there.
Right. But there are also, it just might make you think, okay, what are some, or if you're listening to this, you know, it might inspire you, what are some other genres of, like, constrained writing exercises that are really, really short that could totally fit in, you know, this length? And mm-hmm. also, as we start looking at, you know, Mastodon and other places that aren't Twitter that might have slightly larger character limits, you know, things don't have to be exactly this tiny. But the little thing every day, there's still a lot of benefit to that.
These are very short. I feel like most of them are probably shorter than 50 characters.
Yeah, like some of these could be Wi-Fi names.
Sure.
Yeah.
I they might distress your neighbors. I don't know how I would feel if, you know, there was a Wi-Fi network in my house called a Strangler in Paradise.
Yeah, very good point. All right, is there anything else you think you want to say before we wrap up?
No. It's time to bring tonight's episode to an end.
All right, sweetie. Thanks for chatting about this with me.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Take care, everyone.